Would you turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 14 in your Bibles? We're going to look at a couple different passages of Scripture, but I'm speaking this morning on going forward with God. Going forward with God. You say, preacher, forward from where? And the answer to that is, well, from wherever you are. And so we're going to talk about that today, going forward with God from Exodus chapter 14. But before we do, the fellows and I want to sing for you.
His hands, who created the starry host and formed the earth at his command, who scatters lightning before him, commands the rain and snow to fall, who makes the nations tremble, who is Lord over all. He is almighty, unchangeable God, King of kings, Lord of lords, robed in majesty. He rules and reigns for all eternity. Almighty, unchangeable God. He is like the light at sunrise, like the brightness after the rain. Seated on his heavenly throne above, his glory fills the heavens. He is exalted over all. Yet he loves me with an everlasting love. He is almighty, unchangeable God, King of kings, Lord of lords, robed in majesty. He rules and reigns for all eternity. Almighty, unchangeable God. He is almighty.
He is almighty.
Unchangeable God.
Unchangeable God.
King of kings, Lord of lords, robed in majesty, he rules and reigns for all eternity. Almighty, unchangeable God. Almighty, unchangeable God, Almighty God.
I love singing that song. I think we ought to sing it again, actually. You see, we're better than the preacher. No. Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14 in your Bibles, going forward with God out of Exodus chapter number 14. Out of respect for the Word of God, let's stand one more time. Would you with me, please? Exodus chapter 14. Look at verse number 10. Exodus 14, 10 says, "And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians, whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward." I want to challenge you with that this morning. Going forward with God. Out of Exodus chapter number 14, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, please help us this morning. Lord, what a challenge it is to see the Israelites where they were. And yet, Lord, what a challenge it was to see your command to them. Lord, there are times I am confident there are people in this room overwhelmed with their circumstance. Lord, we feel like it's just enough that we're hanging on for dear life. And yet, Lord, you've got another plan for our lives. That plan is to be successful in your eyes. That plan is to be fruitful as believers. That plan is to fight the battles you've given us to fight. So, Lord, I pray that you'd help us not to grow weary in well-doing today. Lord, I pray that your name would be glorified by the preaching of your word this morning. Help me not to say something you don't want me to say. But, Lord, help me to be careful to say exactly what it is you want me to say. Challenge our hearts now. Draw us close to you, Lord, please, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. We all come from different walks of life. We all deal with different circumstances. You could say, in the eyes of the world, you could say, this person's successful, this person's not. In the eyes of the world, you could say, this person has a lot going for them, this person has a lot of challenges for them. And yet, in spite of that, God, in his wisdom, in his mercy, in his sovereignty, God has a plan for our lives. And the issue is, we need to make it our number one priority to find out what that plan is. And then we need to make it a number one priority to fulfill the plan that God has for us. I'm going to tell you with certainty, I am not the prophet nor the son of a prophet, but I'm going to tell you with certainty that I know God has a plan for your life and God is not through with you yet. And the reason I know that is because you are here today. If God were through with me, I don't know if it's going to be 50, which is screaming up at me faster than a speeding bullet, or 60, or 70, or 80, or 90. Paul Harvey died. I believe Paul Harvey was a Christian. Paul Harvey died just recently. Paul Harvey died at 90 years old. Do you know that when Paul Harvey was 82 years old, we have anybody 82 or older here? 82 or older in this room? No. When Paul Harvey was 82 years old, do you know that ABC News signed Paul Harvey to a 10-year contract when he was 82 years old? Man, you know what? I want to go anyway God wants me to go, but I wouldn't mind it being that way. I wouldn't mind signing a 10-year contract as pastor of Greater Cumberland Baptist Church when I'm 82 years old. I wouldn't mind that. Sermons would be shorter. but I don't know what God has in store for you. But I know God has a plan for your life. Now, here's who I want to talk to you today.
There are people today, and there are people who at other times have had circumstances thrown at them, and you and I did not know what to do with those circumstances. Preacher, what am I supposed to do with this? Okay, I'm supposed to do something. I'll concede that. But what in the world am I supposed to do with this? Some of us, when we have encountered those circumstances, we stop. There may be people in this room, earlier in your life, you were doing a lot more than Jesus. And then circumstances. And sometimes, circumstances through no fault of your own. Most of the time, the vast majority of time, when I have problems in my life, I can tell you where they came from. Me. You know, we have a tendency to blame the devil for too many things, and it's our own flesh and God. We have a tendency to blame God for too many things. And whereas God has allowed those things to happen, it was through our own foolishness that we doubt ourselves. Can I tell you this? If I show up late for work all the time and I get fired, can I tell you, that's not the devil. You understand that? And if I show up for late for work and I don't do my job and I get fired, can I tell you this? That's not God. That's my sorry flesh. Now, I don't think that applies to anybody in this room. But we've got to be careful about, you know, holding other people accountable or blaming the devil or God for things we've brought on our own self. But let's say, through no circumstances of our own, or through no fault of our own, circumstances have come into our lives. And it has just put the brakes on what we thought we were supposed to be. What we perceive is a little dumb. We stop. There may even be another group of people in this room. Or there may have been times in everybody's life, maybe not today, but it's happened. But not only have you not stopped, you go back. In our family, in our walk with the Lord. So the question that we've got to ask this morning is that what God wants? I have said this before, and I really do believe this. In the Old Testament, matter of fact, in this story, the Israelites were led by a pillar of a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Sometimes the cloud and the fire moved. Sometimes the cloud and the fire stood still. But always it was the will of God to follow the cloud and the fire. Even when they were moving, even when they were standing still. Even when they turned left, and you thought they were supposed to turn right, even when they went fast, and you thought they were supposed to push. That's not my fault. I'm talking to the person who, as a result of the circumstances of their faith, has caused them to stop. Maybe even it has caused them to live. Look at the story with me this morning in Exodus chapter number 14.
God, in verse number 15, pretty much answers the Israelites. They're getting ready to come up to the Red Sea, and all they know is, post-haste, they had gotten out of Egypt. And that when they had gotten out of Egypt, Pharaoh sent his army to follow after them. The best of the best were chasing down the Israelites who were on foot. And so now they have the enemy behind them. And they're, as fast as they can, their little field take carry them, they're going down across the way, and they come up to a great body of water called the Red Sea. And what do? They throw up their hands and their feet. And they say, you know what, if we were going to die, why didn't you just let us die back in Egypt?
And Moses says this statement. He says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I understand that statement from the perspective of, I don't want to take another step unless I know that the step that I take is in the will of God. I understand. And then God turns around and he shows them the direction and his will for their lives. And he says, I don't want you to stand still. Now that you know what your will is, or my will is for your life, God says, now I want you to go forward. They're looking at the enemy behind them. They're looking at the Red Sea in front of them. And God says, you need to go forward. And I got to tell you, if I come up to a wall and someone says, you need to keep going, there's going to be a little bit of doubt that goes through my mind. What do you want me to do? No, really, obviously, there's a plan B and we just don't know it yet. And God says, there is no plan B. He tells the Israelites, I want you to go forward. So I will tell you, first of all, this morning, when we go forward, we must advance in spite of the challenges. When we go forward, we must advance in spite of the challenges. Yes, there are obstacles in your life. Now look at this. Look at this morning. Behind them, they've got the Egyptians who are chasing down on them. That are getting ready to destroy him. They have every intent and purpose of destroying the Israelites. And God says, in spite of what's behind you, I expect you to go forward. I'm talking to the child of God this morning. What's behind you? Defeat? Failure? Sin. I was talking to a young man this week, 13 years old. 13 years old. They've locked him up for fighting. When he was 11, he took on 4 cops. When he was 13, he just took on 3. We talked. He started sharing with me about his history. When he was a 10-year-old boy, his stepfather took advantage of him in a big way. And he made this statement. He said, you know what I think? 13-year-old boy made this statement. He said, you know what I think? He said, I think, if I were to kill my stepfather, I wouldn't be angry anymore. And as sure as I'm standing here, I believe he was as sincere as anybody in the world has ever been sincere. He said, you know what I think? He said, I think if I killed my stepfather, I wouldn't be angry anymore. That anger would go away. And I told him, I said, son, revenge is not the answer to your anger. The answer to your anger is forgiveness. I said, and until you can get to the point in your life where you can forgive that man for what he did, that devil called anger is going to eat you alive. And it's going to destroy you. So maybe that Egyptian army that's coming up behind you, maybe it's anger over the way somebody treated you. And you have gotten to the point in your life where spiritually speaking, you're not able to go forward.
you have either stagnated or you're going backwards. And God tells you this morning, you don't need to go backwards. You don't even need to convince yourself that standing still is okay. You need to go forward. I'm looking at numerous people in this room. You have been mistreated by your employer. Numerous people. Some folks have let that situation get the best of them to the point that they are rendered useless for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only one who gains anything out of that is old smutty face himself, the devil. He's the only one. Some of us, fortunately I was raised in a Christian home, but some of us in this room can't say that. And what we have caught ourselves doing is blaming our family history for our lack of serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of us are here this morning, have bombed in a big way in our past. We have fallen flat on our face. Maybe it's sin. Maybe it's failure. You tried something, believing it was the right thing, and man, your nose has been flat and you fell so hard. And as a result of that, we have found ourselves afraid to do anything again because we're afraid we're going to fail. But God says in Exodus chapter 14, God says, go forward. And I challenge you this morning from the Word of God. Don't let your circumstances, don't let your failures, don't let the way you have been treated in your past, don't let your shortcomings, don't let your family history keep you from doing what God has commanded you to do. But not only did the Israelites have the Egyptians in their past behind them, they had this small issue of the Red Sea in front of them. Okay, preacher. Yeah, fine. You want me to go on in spite of what's happened to me? Fine, I'll do it. But what am I supposed to do about this giant thing that's right in front of me? In many cases, it's your work schedule. In many cases. Preacher, my work is causing me to not to be able to serve the Lord like I believe the Lord would have me serve Him. I believe this. I believe this. I believe that if God has called me to do something, if God has led me to do something, He will make the way for that to happen. I want to tell you this. I believe that very strongly for Greater Cumberland Baptist Church. Have we seen days of feast? Oh, yes, we have. Have we seen leaner days? Oh, yes, we have. But just because the days are plentiful, and just because the days may be lean, that does not dictate the will of God. And so we've got to see, maybe we've got obstacles in front of us. Listen, it's a blessing, the excitement the military folks bring to Greater Cumberland Baptist Church. But the downside of that is good families leave. So does that mean that, you know, we should not do things? No, that's just who we are. Does that mean we should not reach out to those people? No, we should. And in the time that God has allowed them to be a part of what He is doing here, and God has allowed us to strengthen the bond together as a family, we've got to go forward. We cannot say, well, you know, preacher, one day down the road, we may lose 50 people in a year again, so, you know, we don't ever want to try that. We can't do that. If God has led us this way, there's a plan for Him, from Him, for us. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Go to 1 Kings chapter number 19. 1 Kings chapter number 19. While you're turning to 1 Kings chapter number 19, I want to read to you Joshua chapter number 1. In Joshua chapter number 1 and verse number 2, God told Joshua this. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. And you know what God did not say to Joshua? Now I guess we're not going to be able to do what I want you to do. Moses, my servant, is dead, so y'all might as well just go home. Moses, my servant, is dead, and you know, we didn't make any provision for that, so we're just going to have to quit. Moses, my servant, is dead, and I know I'm God, but I don't have a clue what I'm supposed to do. Moses, my servant, is dead, and since you definitely are not Moses, this is not going to work. That's not what he said. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead, now therefore arise, go over this Jordan. Folks, it may be tomorrow. My brother died of a heart attack at 46. I'm almost 49. I'll be 49 March 26th. If God were to take me to heaven, I would tell Greater Cumberland Baptist Church today, you need to go forward. You need to go forward. In 1 Kings chapter number 19, look at verse number 4. Talking about Elijah here. Let's start at verse number 1. It's so good. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life. I tell you what, man, you get a woman mad at you, you'd be running too. When he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I'm not better than my father's. You see what happened? He quit. Lord, you know, I've done all these miracles and I've done all these things. Now I've got Jezebel after me. And Lord, that's it. I can't do it. What he said. That's what happened right here. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. The angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. Look at verse 8. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. If God were to tell you, I've got a 40-day mission for you, and this is what you get to eat right here. He said, preacher, that's not even a good meal for me. And God says, no, you don't understand. I've called you to do this. You may not think that's a good meal, but that meal is going to sustain you for 40 days and 40 nights. Can I tell you, I said, first of all, when we go forward, we must advance in spite of the challenges. But I will tell you, second of all, when God tells us to go forward, He will provide for us the capabilities to do so. When God tells us to go forward, He will provide for us the capabilities to do so. I don't know what God has in your future. But I know that if God has it, He will take care of you. The problem, I promise you, if God calls you, the problem is not and will not be the provision of God. That will not be the issue. Because if God has called me to do it, then we've got to go forward. Even though I may not agree, even though I may not understand, even though I may not believe it's capable, God's called me. So we're going to go forward. God's called you. So you need to go forward. In spite of what happened in your past. In spite of the obstacles that you have in front of you. Let me make that applicable for Greater Cumberland Baptist Church. God has allowed us to make some changes in our budget. so that we can live within our means here at Greater Cumberland Baptist Church. We cannot be of the mindset, you know, if we had this much money, we could do all those things. We can't have that mindset because this is where we are. So we've got to trust God that where we are, God will provide for us to do what He's called us to do. We can't get ahead of God, but we also cannot be of the mindset, well, I guess we can't do this. Think where Elijah would have been. He'd never made it to Horeb. He would never have been able to take on the prophets of Baal. The prophets of Baal on a little food and a little oil. The prophets of Baal, he took them on. God has called him to do something. And God tells him he's got to go forward. And God has been dealing with you about issues in your own life, issues that you think are too big for you, either because of what happened in your past or what's in front of you. And I tell you this morning, the answer to that issue is you and I, in the grace and by the power of God, need to go forward in what God's called us to do. Don't stop. Don't stop. Don't go backwards. Don't use your circumstances. Don't let your circumstances overwhelm you to the point where you are rendered ineffective for the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't do it. But preacher, this is all the resources I have, whether it's physical resources. You know, maybe you are, because of your age, you believe you're a lot closer to heaven. You say, you know, physically I'm limited in the things that I can do. I understand there are limitations, but that does not mean that we can do nothing. This is who I am. This is what God has called me to do. And based upon the best of the ability the Lord has given me, I'm going to do what God's called me to do. No, it's not always easy. I understand that life gets difficult sometimes. I understand the obstacles are great sometimes. But God has called us to do things, and we cannot look back. You say, preacher, what kind of things? Well, I'm going to say raising your family. God's called you. We should never hear a mother and a dad say, I can't do this. What we're saying is God doesn't know what He's doing. And we should never have that mindset. Never. God, you don't know what you're doing. You're not God. I'm not saying it's not going to be hard. It is hard. But I am saying just because it's hard doesn't mean we should not be doing it. We should be doing it. And you are here today, and you have allowed the devil to whisper in your ear, and it has caused you to come to a screeching halt, or it has caused you to go backwards. Let me say one more thing very quickly, and I'll be done. Go to the Psalms, would you please? Psalm 78. We have a calling that God has put in our lives. We have a place where God has put us. We have circumstances that God has given us. And when God tells us to go forward, He will provide for us the capability to do so in the midst of all of those things. The 78th Psalm, please. Psalm 78. It's a very long Psalm, 72 verses. And what the psalmist is doing here is he's just reviewing the wondrous works of God. Skip down to verse number 40 of Psalm 78. Look what it says. It says, how oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yep, there we are. Yeah, we know where they are. Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They remember not his hand, nor the day that he delivered them from the enemy, how he had wrought his signs in Egypt and his wonders in the field of Zoan, and had turned their rivers into blood and their floods that they could not drink. He sent diverse sort of flies among them, which devoured them, and frogs, which destroyed them. He gave also their increase unto the caterpillar and their labor unto the locust. He destroyed their vines with hail and their sycamore trees with frost. He gave up their cattle also to the hail and their flocks to the hot thunderbolts. He cast upon them the fierceness of his anger, wrath and indignation and trouble by sending evil angels among them. He made a way to his anger. He spared not their soul from death, but gave their life over to the pestilence. He smote all the firstborn in Egypt, the chief of their strength in the tabernacles of Ham, but made his own people to go forth like sheep. Watch this. And guided them in the wilderness like a flock. I said, first of all, when we go forward, we must advance in spite of the challenges. And I tell you, secondly, when God tells us to go forward, He'll provide us the capabilities to do so. Lastly, I would tell you, when God tells us to go forward, as the great shepherd, God will guide us. We have the promise of His presence at the Great Commission. We have the promise of His presence in Hebrews when He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. We have the promise of His presence in Psalms when He says, I'll go before you. I will guide you like a shepherd guides his sheep. So, friend, can I encourage you this morning? Let's go forward with God. Let's not let our past. I told that 13-year-old boy, yes, your stepfather wronged you. Yes, God is going to hold him accountable for that. But if you can't get rid of that anger and have a spirit of forgiveness, you will not go forward. He was in treatment for a year and got out of treatment after 1 year. 3 days later, they had to call the cops on him. He was so angry. Thorazine's supposed to wipe you out. Is that right, Doc? 100 milligrams of Thorazine, that'll slow you down pretty good, won't it? Didn't slow him down at all. Ended up having to give that boy 200 milligrams Thorazine. 13-year-old boy. And you say, preacher, there's no hope for that boy. And I would say, outside of God doing something like a miracle, you're right. But I believe God's not through with that boy. He's letting his circumstances, he's letting his past, he's letting those Egyptians on the chariots overwhelm him. But you and I are doing the same thing. Our joy, our service, because of what happened. Our capabilities, because of the obstacles that we face. Can I encourage you this morning, and can I tell you? Let's go forward with God.